We're going to turn today to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to start a series called It Is Written. And this is the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Now, there's two different versions of this, one in Matthew and one in Luke. But we're going to read the Matthew one. Chapter 4, verse 1, if you've got your Bibles, if you've got your phones, flip over there and look at it. I'm using the New King James Bible. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written." Hey, that's where we get this title from. It is written. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And what did he say? Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." So we see three different temptations. In fact, Luke tells us that he was tempted for 40 days. Okay? So there were other temptations that took place during that 40 days. But here are the ones that have been given to us for our consideration. Now, we understand that Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh. Why was he tempted? Why was he tempted? You know, the Bible says that he was tempted in every point like we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted in every point, every way that you and I are tempted, he was tempted, yet he never yielded to sin. Now, this is part of his redemptive work. But I think there's some more to it there, because the Bible says that he is easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities, of our weaknesses. He understands our weaknesses, because in any way that a man could be tempted, Jesus too was tempted. See, a lot of people have the idea that, you know, he come down here as God and he used his power as God and he had all knowledge and all understanding and all wisdom and he operated as God. Well, he was God and he was man. But he operated in the earth as a man. He faced everything that a man would face in the earth. And he did that. He did that. He won the victory for us. But listen, when this is written down, we can see how our enemy attacks us many times. There are three areas here that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about temptation. Are we ever tempted? We're tempted all the time. Sometimes we don't know we're being tempted, and we're being tempted. There are all kinds of temptations. So we're going to look at these. We're going to look at the first one. And the first one was, you know, it says after 40 days, he was what? Hungry. Hungry. He had a physical need in his life. He had need of nourishment. Now, do we have needs in our life? Yeah, we have all kinds of needs. So let's look at the area of desire. That's what we're going to talk about, desire. We have natural desires that God has put in us. One of those is to eat. Does anybody enjoy eating? Okay, I thought so. I do. We have a desire to drink liquid. Should be water. But a lot of, you know, we substitute a lot. But we thirst. That is a need. That's a need that God gave us, and He gave us that need because it fulfills a need to sustain our physical lives. So there's that need. We also have the need. Part of our commission in the world is to procreate. Be fruitful. I better be careful. Be fruitful and multiply. And every time I do this, somebody gets pregnant in the church. So I put my hands in my pocket. I'm aside, aren't I? But because we have been given the commission to multiply and replenish the earth, fill the earth, God put with that an urge that is urge-driven. There's a need there. So there's all kinds of needs that we have. We have a need to support our families. We have needs for many, many kinds of things in life. We have needs for relationship. By nature, we are relationship-oriented. So we have that need for relationships. So why would there be a temptation here where Jesus is concerned? He was hungry. He had need of something to eat. And here Satan comes to him and he says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Do a miracle. Do something out of the ordinary. Take a shortcut. And Jesus said, what did he say? It is written. Now, how did he know what was written? Because he read. I get my point here? Jesus didn't instinctively know what was written. See, he studied. You remember, we see very little insight into Jesus' childhood. We see his birth. We see his dedication. And then we see him as 12 years old. They go to the temple and they stay in Jerusalem for a while and then they're going back home. And they didn't realize that Jesus stayed there. And when they came back 3 days later, they found him in the temple asking questions of the scribes, the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders. They were amazed at his insight, but he was asking questions. See, he learned. The Bible tells us that Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom. As, you know, as God, he is omniscient, all-knowing. As man, he had to learn. He didn't draw on his omniscience. He learned. Why did he do that? Because he needed to? No, he did that to show us the way that we're supposed to live. So he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, he's showing us a principle here. He's showing us a principle here. The principle is that God wants to meet our needs, but he wants to do it his way. And God's way is for us to know what is written. See, we don't get to make up our own brand of Christianity. We have a lot of what I call designer Christianity in America. Because there, you know, there's people, it's almost like a buffet. You know, they go down to, yeah, I want grace. I want love. No justice. I don't like justice. Holiness, nah, that's too boring. You know, we kind of pick and choose what we want to believe. And what Satan was trying to do was to get Jesus to do something miraculous rather than doing it God's way. How does God bless us? He blesses us through his word. He blesses us through his promise. And so here's what happens when we go the wrong way with desire, it becomes lust. Are you with me? When we go the wrong way with natural desire, when we do it our way instead of God's way, it becomes lust. What happens when we take eating to an extreme? What's that called? Gluttony. Is that lust? Yes, that's lust. What happens when we choose a different drink than water and we take that to an extreme? What is that called? Drunkenness. What is it that when we take the natural desire that God put in us to procreate and we take that out of its context, which is marriage, we take that out of the context, is that lust also? We call that fornication or we call that adultery. See, it's taking a natural desire and fulfilling that desire outside of what it is written. What will that do to us? It will kill, steal, and destroy. It will. It will hurt us. It will hurt us. It will hurt our physical lives. It will hurt our spiritual lives because that goes against what God has designed. And this is what Satan was trying to do. He says, hey, if you're the Son of God, just turn those rocks into bread. And Jesus said, you know what? It's written. Man shall not live. See, how do we live? Can God meet our needs? Can God provide bread for us? One of the things that teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. See, God wants us to depend on Him to meet our physical needs. And He has designed a thing through it is written to show us how what He has blessed. When we try to shortcut that or circumvent that or to do it some other way, we like quick fixes, don't we? We love get rich quick. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You know what I'm going to ask, don't you? How big is that Powerball thing? 1.3 billion? It showed pictures of people, I mean, lines and lines of people, long lines of people buying those tickets. You know why? They're wanting to get rich quick. How many of them are going to get rich quick? One. You know what the rest of them are going to do? They're going to help make them rich. It's like we're trying to find a shortcut to get where we want to go. When God's got a way to get us where we need to go, we want to go some other way. And what we need to know is, what does it say? It is written. Man shall not live, he shall not thrive, he shall not do well by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When we put the Word of God into our hearts, when we put the Word of God into our thinking, it changes the way that we look at things. It changes the way that we talk. It changes the way that we act. And it changes what we accomplish. See, the Bible says, Psalm says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And He adds no sorrow with it. You know, they did a study with lottery winners. And something that should have been a great blessing to them turned out to be a curse. Many of them lost their families. They lost their marriages. They went bankrupt. You know why? They didn't do it God's way. They couldn't handle that kind of money. They couldn't handle that kind of thing. But you know what? When you do things God's way, it's a blessing. It's not only a blessing to you, it's a blessing to people who are around you. So when we do it, when God can meet, He can provide everything that we need, but let's let Him do it His way and not be trying to do it our way. Because you know what winds up with us when it comes to provision? I need. Lots of payments. Credit cards maxed out. Bankruptcy. More marriages get in trouble over finances than almost anything else. Because we get in a mess. Because we have needs or we have desires, and we try to do it a different way. See, there's people out there, there's companies out there that will accommodate your desire gone wild. Are you listening to me today? That will accommodate your desire gone wild. So we have a choice. Are we going to turn the stones into bread? Are we going to live by the Word of God? It is written. But we'll live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But you know what? If you don't know what's written, you don't know what to say. If you don't know what's written, you won't know what to do. If you don't know what's written, you won't know how to act. And you will never accomplish. You can call yourself a Christian. You may be a Christian. But if you don't know what's written, you're not going to walk in what you're supposed to walk in. Okay. Moving right along. See, here's, let me give you a couple scriptures real quick. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. The question was asked, what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? How are we going to get this need met? And he said, you know what? Put God first. Put God's kingdom first and his righteousness, his way of doing things, and all of these things will be added to you. It's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's pleasure to bring blessing into your life. But we're so impatient because we move out of need and desire. We move over into lust. Lust. See, when we think of lust, we usually think of the sexual. But there's a lust for things. There's lust for all kinds of different things. Okay, the second one. I got to move along here. Ooh. Here's the second temptation in Matthew 4:5. Then the devil took him into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Did you know that the devil can quote Scripture? The devil knows the Bible better than most Christians do. The devil can quote Scripture. That's why we need to be armed. That's why we need to know what is written, because our adversary knows what it says. And he'll use it against you. What's he trying to do here? He knew that, okay, Jesus said it's written, so let me quote him what's written. And we're going to get him to do something based on what's written. The problem is he misinterprets it. And what he's trying to do, he is trying to get Jesus to do something presumptuously based on a half-truth. You know, you can prove most anything in the Bible. You can find Scripture to prove a point, but it may be a half-truth. And that's what he's doing here. He's trying to get Jesus to do something presumptuously. You're Son of God? Hey, jump off this temple. Hey, it's written. He'll give his angels charge over you. Is that true? Yes. They'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Is that true? Yes. You know, we see this happen in the book of Acts when Paul was on his way to Rome. He was a prisoner. They go to this island, and Paul goes out, and he's gathering sticks. And as he's gathering sticks, he gets snake bit. And the Bible says he shook it off and felt no harm. What was that? That was the supernatural divine healing working of God in his life. Can God still do miracles? Does God do miracles? Yes. But was he being presumptuous? No. If Jesus jumped off of the temple, would he have been presumptuous? Yes. So Jesus comes back at him and he says, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So he is trying, again, he's trying to get him to live a presumptuous lifestyle. And this is what we need to learn out of this. This is why we need to know what is written, because if you build a life on any other thing than what is written, you will live a presumptuous lifestyle. You'll take a half a truth and you'll try to walk in that, and it won't work for you, and the devil will come around and say, "Listen, that Bible don't work anyway. I don't know why you're following that. That Bible don't work." Maybe we were presumptuous because we didn't know what was written. See, the Bible tells us very plainly to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. We need to be able to study, not only read, but to study and to meditate in the Word of God so that we'll know what's written. And you will not be easy prey for the enemy to lead you off the pathway. He will not be able to trick you to be presumptuous in your life. See, you can take a truth in that God wants to bless you, and that's true. It is true. God wants to bless you, but he wants to bless you his way. See, God can protect you. You can be, and here's one of the issues here. Could God protect Jesus? Yes. Can God protect you? But do you live recklessly? Do you live on the edge and outside of the truth of the Word of God and expect protection in your life? I don't think so. See, we need to walk in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Word of God so that we can walk in his divine protection, that we can walk in the security that we have in Jesus Christ spiritually, our eternal security that we have in Jesus Christ, that we can walk in that. But listen, we don't need to walk presumptuously. Our walk, our manner of life, the way that we live needs to be based on what is written. And it takes a lifetime and a changing lifestyle to walk in that. See, if the Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. Because we're not perfect. There's only a couple of perfect ones here today. And I got my doubts about the other one. No, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We miss it. We fall short. But listen, if you know to do good, if you know to do something and you don't do that, the Bible says to you that's sin. It's presumptuous for you to live that kind of lifestyle when you know better to live that kind of lifestyle. Whatever that is, it's presumptuous. We don't need to live presumptuously. We need to live according to the Word of God. Oh, me. Okay, the third one. I'm skipping around, guys. The third one. Again, the devil took him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." I love this one. "Away with you, Satan, for it is written." He stepped in it big time. The devil stepped in it big time on this one. Okay? "If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you the world. I'll give you everything that you can desire. You can have all power, all influence, I'll give it to you. And Luke, it says, it's been delivered to me, and I'll give it to you. Whoever I want to give it to, I'll give it to you. If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. He could have all of the power, all of the authority, all of everything where the world was concerned. What did Jesus say? He said, "Away with you, Satan. Away with you. For it is written," and here's the great commandment with promise, "you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. So here's the deal. Do we want to be people of influence? See, if we'll do things God's way, there is a power in living for Christ. There is a power in submitting to God. There is a power. There is an authority. Where does the power come from? See, Jesus told his disciples, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." So there's a power. There's an empowerment that comes with living in union with God and putting him first place and final authority in your life and putting his word first place and final authority in your life. There's a power that comes with that. But what if we go the other way? What if we don't put God first? See, we go the other way when we do that, don't we? We don't do it God's way. We do it our way, which is basically Satan's way. If you don't worship God first, you worship something else. Anything that's more important in your life than your relationship with God is an idol. And idolatry traces straight back to where? Satan. And what you'll do with that kind of authority, you won't be an influence, you'll be a manipulator. You know the difference in influence and manipulation? If I influence, I move us in a direction for the good of all. If I manipulate, I move us in a direction for my benefit. And there's a big difference. And I see men in ministry who manipulate people. And listen, it's wrong. It's wrong. When God is where he needs to be in our lives, we're going to be where we need to be in relationship with our fellow man. And that's what power is about. That's what influence is about. That's what authority is all about. It's not about manipulation. It's about influence. The gospel, our commission, is about influence. It's not about building kingdoms for ourselves and building things in our name. That's the other way. That's where we bow down to whatever that is in our lives, and we worship that. We worship power. It'll get you in trouble. But if you worship God and put him first, guess what? God will bring you into a place of favor, of influence, power, and authority. You will have an impact on the world that you live in. Just think about the world that you live in. You have a family. You have a job. You have people. You have friends. You have acquaintances. You have a sphere around you of places that you go and frequent. If you'll put God first, it'll be amazing, Brother Jim, the opportunities that just jump up and hit you in the face where you can share your faith and you can influence people for the good. For the good. Yeah, Jesus faced these temptations. He faced these temptations to show us the way. To show us the way. And that way is through God's word. It's through his word. Jesus had a opportunity in John 19, verse 10 and 11. He's fixing to go to the cross. He's standing before Pilate. This is before he's condemned. And Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me?" Jesus was quiet. "Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" And Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Here's what he's saying. You think you have power in this situation? It looked like Jesus was powerless here. But you know, all Jesus had to do in all this situation is say, "Lord, take me out of this." There was angels ready to come and rescue him. Jesus, they didn't take Jesus' life from him. He freely gave it. He had power to lay it down. He had power to take it up. He was free to do that. When we live in union with God, we have freedom. When we get caught up in this other world of manipulation and struggle and climbing the ladder, guess what happens? We become enslaved to that situation. Do you think Satan would really given all of that to Jesus, or he would lied to him? I think he'd lied to him. And Satan lies to us, promising us fulfillment, promising us these things if we'll follow a way that's away from God. Let's not be tempted to be pulled away from the Word. Let's not be tempted to be pulled away from putting God first place and final authority in our lives. I'm going to ask our prayer team if they'll come. We want to have a little time for prayer here today. Just want to ask you a question today. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? I think that in each message, as we speak the Word of God, there's a voice greater than mine. I'm limited in my vocabulary. I'm limited in my understanding. I'm limited in my ability to communicate. But there's one, when I speak His Word, He's not limited by me. He's not limited by my limitations. He talks to your heart. What does He say? Then the second question is, what are you going to do with what He has said to you today? Do you need to make a decision? Is there things that you need to surrender in your life? Have you fallen into temptations and you need to get out of that? Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray real quick. And those of you who need prayer, specific prayer over something, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that will be the greatest coming out that you'll ever experience. Father, thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can know what is written. We can know it. We can love it. We can obey it. We can walk in it. And you've freely given it to us for our benefit. Thank you for speaking to your people today. Now draw them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to worship, and as we worship, if you need prayer for anything, feel free to come.